You take your copy of God's Word and turn again, as we did last Sunday, to 2 Kings. This Sunday, I have selected a message from chapter 7. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 7. Last Sunday, I brought you sort of a unique message about the axe head that floated. And I had several people comment after the service as they were going out and said, "We've never heard that sermon before." And I thought, I hope not. I've never preached it here before. What they were referring to was the analogy of the axe head and how sometimes because of our own personal neglect, we lose our spiritual cutting edge. Well, today I want to speak to you on another rather unique example of person's faith and action. Sometimes when we lose our spiritual cutting edge, a little bit of fervor and a little bit of action will help resolve some of that. We just need to make a decision that we're going to do something and get her done, as they say. So if you'll turn to the 7th chapter of 2 Kings, I'm going to give you a little bit of background here, okay? As I mentioned last Sunday, the prophet during this period of time is Elijah, not to be confused with Elijah, his predecessor. And this man, Elijah, was a great, great prophet. In fact, he had a double portion of the blessing that God had poured out on Elijah. And we see him a constant movement of energy. And he's caught up right in the midst of some terrible kings of Israel. And unafraid and bold, he stands before them and he tells exactly what they can expect is going to happen. Now, when you come to chapter 7 of 2 Kings, you come to a passage of Scripture in which there is a famine in the land, and especially within the city gates. And Elijah has already told them why this is. The famine is the result of their rebellion and disobedience. So they ought not to be surprised that this has come true. And in the midst of this famine that's inside the city, on the outside of the gate of the city, people are starving to death. And the most rejected of the community are sent outside the gate. It's as if the officials inside the city say, "Well, you know, you're the lower class of our city. Just go on out there and die." And when you come to chapter 7, you find that among that crowd of people outside the gate are four lepers. Now, in previous messages, I've told you about the demise of lepers. Nobody wanted them around. They were untouchable. They were looked upon as individuals that were in that horrible condition because of some kind of sin they had committed in their lives. They were the scum of the city, and they were thrown out to starve to death. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story about Grandma Callie, and you hold on to it, because it's going to become relevant later down through the course or discourse of the message. Grandma Callie Collins lived out on Montgomery Street in Cambria. My granddaddy Collins died when my father was only 5 years old, and my grandmother was left to raise all of the children by herself until she met a railroad man. And his name was William Broomfield. Brumfield is the correct pronunciation, but we always said Broomfield. And we called him Mr. Will. He was our step-grandfather. Great Christian man. Deacon at Cambria Baptist Church. And they lived out at the end of Montgomery Street in a little house out there. And then behind their house and down in the field, about 4 acres of land, was against the creek down there. On the other side of the creek was the railroad tracks. And of course, the railroad still runs through Cambria. And they had a huge cabbage patch. And she made all kinds of different things, like chow chow and other things for people in the community. She did whatever she could to make funds so that the family could survive. She and Mr. Will were the first two on Montgomery Street to have a telephone. I never figured this out, but they were also the first two to have a television set. And my brother and I would get our homework done so that we could run over to Grandma Callie's and watch television. And it was one of those little small tubes, you know, black and white, of course. And we would get as close to that thing as we could to watch the Lone Ranger. And if she needed to get a message to us, she would go out on the old back porch and you could hear her hollering. It was like a telegraph. Danny! Dickie! That was my brother. Richard! And when Grandma Callie hollered, we came running. And she came out one day and she said, Richard! The hogs are in the cabbage patch. Come and help. And my daddy took off to help run the hogs out of the cabbage patch. Now you hold on to that story because it's going to become important later on down in the message. You have your Bibles open to chapter 7. And I want you to skip down real quickly to verse number 3. And here they are. Now watch what happens. Now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. And listen to this conversation that they're having. And I want you to see their intelligence and their decision making emulate here to where it's a self-revealing thing about us. And so at the entrance of the gate, there they are, starving to death, and they say to one another, why stay here until we die? If we say, in verse 4, we'll go into the city, and the famine is there, and we will die. But on the other hand, if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans. And they're the ones that have siege to the city. Another word for that is the Syrian army, Arameans or Syrians. And they've laid siege on the city. That's why they're in famine, starving to death. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans or Syrians and surrender to them. If they spare us, then we'll live. If they kill us, then we're going to die anyway. You got the setup? Now let's talk about this just for a minute. In the lives of these four lepers, their future looks really dim. And I was talking to my brothers back there at the back before we started service today and telling about these early days of our marriage at Carson Newman College. And there were some days there in our lives that looked really dim. Pat was teaching school under, was it Title I or Title IV? I can't remember. Title I program, and the state had to approve the funds, state of Tennessee, and she didn't get paid for about 3 months. And so help me, folks, we were trying to find everything possible to make a dime. I painted, and I can't paint. In fact, I hate it. Whatever it took, we scraped enough money to survive during those days until the Title I money was released, and then we had just all the money we needed. Ha-ha. No, I was behind on my tuition and other things. But the future looked dim. Now, think about this. The moments in your life as a married couple, and it was probably when you first started out, There were days that looked dim. And you wondered, are we really going to survive this? And did you know that that reality is also a reality that sometimes faces churches? Sometimes the future of a church looks dim. And we forget that the church really is an investment that the Lord has made in His people that make up that church. And that our relationship with the Lord is our investment that we have made in Him. It is a dual connection. He to us and we to Him. And in the days that look dim, the future we often question what it's going to be like in the future. And so here these four lepers are, and they start to reason with each other. And they're thinking in their minds, really, we have nothing to lose. I mean, if we stay here where we are and do nothing, what's going to happen to us? We're going to starve to death and die. We could go into the city, but they've already thrown us out once. And after all, they're starving in the city too. So we'll just go in there in the midst of that famine and we'll go in there and die. But there's a third option. The enemy that has surrounded us, maybe we could go over to their camp, the camp of the Arameans, the camp of the Syrians. And perhaps they'll kill us, or perhaps they'll feed us. If they kill us, we're going to die anyway. Either way, the future looks dim. But watch this. To do nothing. To do nothing is the worst of the three options. Would you not agree with that? I mean, if they just sat there on their backside and did nothing, starvation was certain. Now, I've observed several things as your interim pastor these past 9 months. And here is where the first part of this message comes home to us. I measure the reality from an outside perspective. You see, I can see things, and Pat too, for that matter, we talk about it, I can see things from a little different perspective, perhaps, than what you see as you look at your church. Obviously, there have been times when you looked at the future of your church and thought, looks kind of dim. But can I reassure you that there is no church that I have preached in, including the one that I pastored for a total of 27 years, that did not have those moments when they felt, future looks pretty dim. Future looks pretty dim. And we're starving to death here. Now, they may have felt that they were starving, but it wasn't because they were not receiving the Word of God. Now, they may have been starving because of inaction. And I assure you, Christian, that if you sit down and do nothing, if you do not practice in any way your Christian responsibilities, from the study and application of God's Word to your faithfulness in giving and to your blessed fellowship one with each other, if you do none of those things, you will starve spiritually. So the first question of the day, do you want to? Do you want to starve? Do you want to remain in inaction? And the lepers, even the lepers, had better sense than that. And so, point number two of the message is very simple. They make a decision, and when they make the decision, they discover a gift of a lifetime. Watch what it says, beginning with verse 5. And so it says that at dusk, they got up and they went into the camp of the Arameans or the Syrians. And watch what happens when they get there. This is really great. This is good stuff, folks. Right here is good stuff. And when they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there. Why? Where'd they go? Here's what happened. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and the Egyptian and the kings of those countries, and they are going to attack us." And so they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and their donkeys, and they left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. What a discovery. And it says the men who had the leprosy reached the edge of the camp, and they entered one of the tents and ate and drank, and then they took silver and gold and clothes and went off and hid them. And then they returned and entered another tent and took some of the things from it and went off and hid it. Wow. You know what the four lepers remind me of? Hogs in a cabbage patch. Told you. You needed to hold on to that story. I mean, picture this story. Having chosen to go into the camp of the Syrians or Arameans, they make this fantastic discovery, and all of a sudden, four lepers, outcast from the city, who are starving to death, have all the food that they want. Not only that, the silver and the gold, why, this is a bountiful time in their lives. Now, you can say what you want to about the churches that God institutes and establishes. Not only this one, but the churches across this land. Many churches in this land look at the future and think that it's sort of dim, unless they're one of these mega churches that have the resources to provide a completely different kind of ministry that Wythful Baptist Church has the opportunity to provide at this point in its life. And so when they look at their future, these mega churches, when they look at their future, they see their future quite differently than we see ours. But ask yourself this question: who is already in the future? Who's already there? The one who not only saved us, but the one who established this church. He's already there. And it's if the voice of the Spirit of God is calling out to His churches across this land, like Grandma Callie stood on the old back porch of the home place and said, "Richard, Danny, I need your help." And the Father, God in His Son, Christ Jesus, is crying out louder every day to the churches across this land, "I need your help." There are people that are starving to death, and I need your help. What was the turning point in the lives of these four lepers? It was when they made a decision to get up and do something. And so here they are then. They have fallen into the cabbage patch, and they are having a heyday. And they ate a while, and then they grabbed up some more silver and gold, and they went off and hid it. They came back and they had another three-course meal, grabbed some more silver and some more clothing items, and went off and hid it. What are they doing when they eat continually and then take the bounty? All of a sudden, when life seems so dim, it has made this tremendous turn for them. And I think that sometimes churches are a whole lot more bountifully blessed than they realize. This one is. And when I look at you, dear people, from the moment I walked through that door to preach the first time, I did not see any deficit. I saw potential. And so these four lepers, they say, well, my goodness, what are we going to do with this? Which leads to the next section of Scripture. Look at verse 9 and following. And then they said to each other, now watch this, after they had eaten and consumed all they could eat, after they had carried off the silver and the gold and went and hid it, all of a sudden it comes to them how blessed they have been. And in verse 9, they say to each other, what we're doing is not right. And I love this. This is a day of what? Good news. This is a day of good news. And we're keeping it to ourselves. You know, the New Testament word, gospel, is translated from a Greek word which means good news. Now, of all the gifts that the Lord has bestowed upon His church, there is no gift that compares to the good news that He has given to His church. We are parabolically like the four lepers with this great discovery. They're nothing. Remember, I said the lepers are the scum of the earth. They're the rejected ones. They're the ones that have been cast outside the gate. And they have this great discovery. And they have two options having made this great discovery. And it all revolves around what I call a conviction of that which is right and that which is wrong. And this good news that God has bestowed upon His church brings a conviction when we are sincerely looking for the will of God in our lives. It brings a conviction to our hearts. And it says to us, what am I going to do with this good news that I have? And He says it to the church as well. He says to the church, what are you going to do with what I've given to you? Stop bemoaning what you don't have and answer me the question. What are you going to do with what you have? It's like when the little boy brought up his bread and fishes to Jesus, who was about to preach to a multitude of people. And Philip said, it's just this little boy here. He's got a little bit of fish, a little bit of bread. And then he said, but what is that? What little bit he has, what can that do to feed a multitude? And the decision was, Jesus took the little bit and He did what He does. He multiplied it and gave it and fed the multitude. Now, we've got to consider that. We've got to consider the bounty of what the Lord has given to this church. And what you have, listen, what you have in the church house today, you look around. What you have in the church house today is the faithful people that most always, every Sunday, are right here. And we do ourselves a great deal of harm when we say, well, I thought we would have a full house by now. And you know who's sometimes guilty of that? Paul said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. I actually have the gall, the ego, the conceitedness to actually think because I am here and preaching, that automatically this place is going to fill up. Now, isn't that ridiculous? Isn't that ridiculous? Who do I think I am anyway? And I realize that it's not me. It's not about me. And it's not even about you individually. But it's always about the one who provides the bounty. Who provided? Listen. Who provided this great and wonderful bounty to the four rejected lepers? Well, the scripture told us. It says that the Lord caused the Armenians to hear the sound of chariots and horses and great army, so that they were scared to death and they took off running. If the Lord, listen, if the Lord makes His people be the witnesses of His mighty hand, He will always confirm that. And here, these four outcasts now become bearers of good news. Now, they say to each other, this is a day of good news, and we're keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace. And so they went and called out the city gatekeepers and told them, we went into the Armenian camp and no one was there, not a sound of anyone. Only tethered horses and donkeys, and the tents left just as they were. And the gatekeepers shouted the news, and it was reported within the palace. What did they do? They said, this is not right. This is a day of good news. We've got to go and tell the people. The other option that they had was, well, you know, we found this. Finders keepers, losers weepers. They threw us out of the city because we had leprosy and they hated us. Why should we spread this wonderful news of this great discovery to those people that hated us in the first place? And every time the church in our world feels that it is less than accepted, that it has no validity, the more the world says to us that we're insignificant as Christian people, that's the more we should stand up tall with the good news of Christ. Because it would not be right to do otherwise. And so they go and share this good news. Well, in conclusion, you think about this. Isn't it sad? Really, it's sad indeed. When we are so busy with our groceries and our silver and our gold and our fine gadgets that we forget to share the bounty of good news. That's, you know, I was asked this question, Pastor, what do you think is wrong with the church in this day and time? And the answer is very simple. Most Christians in our world today are just absolutely preoccupied with other things. Now, we've got all kinds of things to entertain us. You know, go to Walmart, and sometimes I'll just take my seat while Patty's shopping, but I'll follow her most of the time, and we look at the little children riding up in the shopping carts. And some of them as young as 3 years old. And you know what they got in their hand? Some type of gadget that they're playing with. I'm talking about 3 years old. Anderson was playing with that thing when he was 3 years old. You know, he's 4 years old, just turned four in November, and they got him an iPad for Christmas. I thought, man, I don't know how to turn one on. 4 year old. But don't say that just about the kids. We're all consumed with the attractiveness of this world. And we've been poured out bountifully by blessings from God. And the same is true in our churches. And the greatest of these is the good news. And sometimes we're so preoccupied with all of this stuff that we forget that the starving world is still out there. They're not going anywhere. And the starvation of the world is only going to grow larger and amass itself as the years go by. And so the question is, where's the church going to be? Where is this church going to be? If I teach you nothing else while I'm with you, I want to teach you how valuable you are and how bountifully you've been blessed, so that I can hopefully lead you to the point of your words will be the words of the four lepers. This is a day of good news. Let's go and tell. Let's pray. Mighty Father, how can we measure the bounty of that which you've given to us? We have no human calculator capable of such a thing. One thing we can do, Father, is take what we have and realize that if it comes from you, it is a great blessing. And what you provide, Lord, you will confirm if indeed the people are faithful. I thank you for this interesting story and how it changed not only the lives of these four lepers, but how it changed the lives of an entire city. And Father, Wythful Baptist Church can be the resource to change this entire city if we will but be faithful and spread the good news. I thank you for that. In just a moment, we're going to stand and sing. And as we sing, the purpose of that is for you to evaluate, look at, and anticipate any kind of response you need to make. Responding is all a part of our commitment to the Lord. These lepers had two opportunities to remain seated. One when they were starving to death, and the other when they were like hogs in a cabbage patch. I'm glad they chose to go tell the story. I hope you'll make that choice too. Take what I've said today, Lord, and bless it by your hand, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.